sort this matter once and for all. With the powers that be in Parliament, we must also apologize that you had to cancel the last meeting because of some of the problems that we were faced with, which we were hoping to address in the course of the day. I must say that on the agenda, I don't know if you have copies of the agenda with you. It's distributed a bit. Copies of the agenda. Okay. Send out. Okay. Do you have copies of the agenda in your possession as members? There's nothing here. There's nothing here. No copies here. We're supposed to be looking at the committee program. Very briefly there, because there are immediate issues that we must deal with in terms of the program. And from there, we will deal with the state plan and then move to budget vote. It's quite a heavy day. If we do have time, we will deal with the committee report, but knowing the debates that ensue in this committee, it's over. The agenda for today is overloaded. Let me then, in welcoming everybody present, listen to whether there are apologies that have been submitted. And I must ask you to excuse me, I'm talking like an American today because of some of the situations that naturally you get involved in. I was down with flu, and as a result, I'm dealing with the symptoms thereof now. So you'll excuse me. Sometimes I might hear only myself and not be audible to you. So please raise your hand if you can't hear me. What apologies do we have?
An apology from the Minister, from the Department of Health, and then from the committee side, for an apology from Charlie and Tim Long.
Okay. Those are the apologies. Any other apologies that honorable members you know of? I know that Honorable Bele has requested to be released early because he is talking today. He's debating today in another committee. All right.
For how long is it about?
I don't know. I don't have those details.
You have to prepare for 3 minutes.
What is the question, Chair?
Well, I think it was by the way.
Well, no, I'm not going to respond to the opposition question.
Okay. Honorable members, the draft program, I hope you have it in front of you. Of course, today we would be dealing with the issues that we have raised. There are changes that will be affected in this program. It's unfortunate that I was off sick and therefore could not have time with the committee secretary to run him through all what we have. You would see there that today we were supposed to be dealing with the public. public hearings on the mining charter, a report, which we are not going to do. So immediately we need to, I said, Ben, we must move this. Where did you move it to? So that will not happen today, otherwise we will be heavily overloaded. We will deal with the budget vote, yes. Let me do this. We will present a program, a worked out program, in the next meeting, because this program contains some of the items that we have shifted to somewhere. But let me say to you that we are expected to go to Smith Drift in the next weekend. Not this weekend of the 27th, in the next weekend. If you would recall, the oversight trip was a trip where we were going to hand over the money that was collected at the behest of this committee from one of the mining companies, which is owed to the community. Now, we will be conducting that handover, but on a Friday, we will meet the provincial government in Northern Cape, the company and its lawyers, so that we can then exactly understand what is it that is prepared. So the trip has been approved, and so it's only the date that changes. Now, the delegation, as was agreed last year already, is as follows. It's myself, it's Honorable Bigani, Honorable Sonto, Honorable Jobo, Advocate Schmidt, Mr. E.J. Lucas. Please, if anyone of you will not be available, indicate so that we can find the replacement immediately. And because that's a very important work. The reason why we did not do this oversight at that time was because we were informed through intelligence that there is a problem in the mine. People are up in arms at that stage. We understand now that things have quieted down, and as a result, it will enable us to then have this meeting. That's one issue. I'm raising it, I'm elevating this matter so that members prepare themselves, because we would be leaving on a Thursday. The meeting is on Friday. What time Friday morning? And we arrive and we go straight into a meeting? No. We're leaving on a Thursday. We're arriving on a Thursday there. And then the meeting is on Friday morning, because we're going to be meeting all these sets of people, the provincial government, separately to the company and its lawyers, separate also to the task team that we have set up there. So we'll need sufficient time to interact with them and also learn on what is going on the ground. So we'll be leaving on Thursday. And then having that meeting on Friday. On Saturday, we will then meet the community to deal with these matters. And as you all know, Northern Cape is one of those challenging provinces. We might be going for Schmidt Drift and end up having to meet a long list of delegation of people that would want to talk to us. So as People's Parliament, we will then have to do that. Within the program itself, we're going to be requesting the department to basically prepare for us briefing on all litigation processes that are taking place within this sector. We hear there are cases ranging from the international litigation where the Italian granite miners challenged DMR on a particular matter. We understand it has been resolved, but we are not informed of the details. We know that there are judgments that are out there against the department, for instance, on the case that involves the Agri Forum, and lately there are also judgments that involve Kumba and quite a number of others, so that we can make sense of what is going on. So that date for you department is going to be on the 9th of May. But we must still decide whether we want to meet on the 9th of May when our budget vote is on the 10th. Our budget vote is on the 10th of May at 2 o'clock in the old assembly chamber. We will be debating on the budget vote. So when we sort out the program, we will give you the correct date, whether we will still hold on to that meeting of the 9th of May. Normally, when it's a day before the budget vote, we allow members to go and put together whatever they want to put together so that they can then speak, with informed positions on the budget vote. But we will see. We will let you know. Honourable members, having said that, let's move on. And you got a question, sir? Honourable Norma?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just one question and one suggestion. I see this program goes up to the constituency period. There was some talk about around this time going, the Portfolio Committee going on a trip to Australia. Is that something that we should be planning for still, or is that off the agenda? That's the question. The suggestion is, I'm sure that I'm not the only person concerned by the fairly dramatic drops in mining output year on year at the moment. Should we not be considering looking at that during this period, perhaps sitting down with some of the stakeholders and finding out why this is happening?
Well, firstly, on the matter of the oversight, the committee section will have to make the application. We have decided on the council as the committee, I think, way back last year, to say that we would prefer Australia. If we can go to two countries, then we can include China in that equation. But Australia was the major country that we want to go and study some of their very formidable health and safety arrangements and their legislative framework. So the committee section must then get on to that to that work and submit the application. In principle, we have cleared that with the parliamentary leadership, but they are waiting for something in writing from us. you would see that in the last, there's a last week in the constituency period where we said from the 18th to the 22nd, it's an oversight. You would recall that we said we want to go to Free State. We must still identify mines in Free State, whether in Welkom or in Bloemfontein or elsewhere. So the trip we are talking about should be taking place around September, thereabout. The oversight trip. But also you must remember that we still have an outstanding report which is provided for in the program, the Chile and the Bolivian reports, which we must still deal with. So, but it's here in the program, we'll deal with that. So for the end of this term, we will have to then visit Free State, and we'll very soon identify the mines there, spending so many days in Bloemfontein, in Welkom, and elsewhere, where there is mining taking place in that province. The issue of the decline, is it in productivity that you're talking about? It's another debate that when we engage, for instance, in the program, we have got provision for 2 days for the workshop on the outcomes of the mining charter. Now, we will be there engaging with captains of the industry, which therefore means that we can then raise this issue and sensitize them so that they come informed into that workshop to begin to give us some analysis of why there is this decline in their view, with an understanding that we will also have to afford the department an opportunity to also give us their views on why is that the case. So maybe on the second day, that's an issue that we can engage with the stakeholders in that, because the first day will be mostly taken by the mining charter public hearings report and its recommendations. We might have an opportunity in the second day, but we'll make note of that. Any other comments, honorable members? Honorable Lucas?
The trip to Kimberley, will we leave Thursday afternoon?
Thursday afternoon. Thursday afternoon. I think there are 2 flights a day. I'm not sure about the arrangements there, morning and the afternoon. But they will have to check for us. All what we want is that we want to sleep over there so that we're not tired. In the morning we get on to the work that we are supposed to do. Yeah. Any other comments? All right. That having been dealt with, let us then allow the department to introduce itself and take us through the strat plan. We have limited time, honorable members, so I'll be a bit strict in terms of the actual discussions, because our time was wasted by these teething problems that we had. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. I thank you for the opportunity to present the 2012-13 annual performance plan, which is also linked to our budget for the Department of the Mineral Resources. I'm here today with the managers of the department. We have got the CFO, We have got the DDG, the CFO, Mr. Rajimani, seated here. We have got the Mr. Rapila, the DDG, which is seated there. Mr. Katenga, who is the compliance officer, is there. We've got Mr. Mkiza, who is the chief inspector of mines. We have got Mr. Nemangubane, who is the office manager of the department. Ms. Kamere, seated there, responsible for corporate services. And we've got Mr. Mutapo, who is a scientist at Mintech. I will begin, honorable members, by outlining our mandate, our mission, our vision, as well as our strategic outcomes as linked to the 12 priorities of national government. I'll proceed to cover the high-level strategic issues that the department has been and will continue to engage with.
DJ, we've got, sorry to step in. We've got a lot of papers here.
Okay. My paper, the narrative one, is just there. Okay. Mine is just a narrative one, but after that we go to the individual program manager. We will guide you through the documentation. Mine is just introductory remark.
Okay.
And then after that we'll then go to individual program managers who will present their issue.
Thank you.
Okay, I forgot the other manager that is the name is stupid.
Oh, he's
joining. Our mandate as a department is to ensure that we use our oversight of the country's mineral resources to ensure transformation, safety, sustainability, as well as economic growth of the industry. Our mission is to regulate the sector to the benefit of all our citizens. And our vision aims to create a mining jurisprudence that is globally competitive. Mining, apart from recapturing its luster, must contribute meaningfully to the government's overall objectives of job creation and eradication of poverty. Our strategic outcomes are aimed at ensuring that the mining industry experiences increased our outcomes with the national priorities of government. The department has 5 outcomes, namely increased investment in the minerals and mining sector, improve the health and safety conditions in the mining sector, achieve equitable and sustainable benefit from minerals resources, transform the mining sector, create an efficient, effective, and development-oriented department. In developing DMR strategy, we took cognizance of internal and external factors, which include continued and a sustained transformation of the industry, promoting the principle of sustainable development in the exploitation of South Africa's mineral resources, promoting skills development, health and safety issues, and attracting investment in the industry. To effectively implement our strategy, the department is structured into 4 programs, and we have the managers here today who will talk to these programs. The first program is on corporate services. Then we've got 1.1, which is basically the CFO's office, which is looking after our finances, supply chain management, and also information technology. The second program is on mine health and safety. We have got the Chief Inspector of Mines here today who will talk to that. Program 3 will be on mineral regulation. We have got the DDG there, Mr. Ratila will be talking to that, which involves the licenses and all associated issues. We have got the mineral policy and promotion, which is basically looking at the policies, development of our policies, promoting the industry, looking at mineral economic issues, looking at also environmental issues. Mr. Nell will be talking to that. Chairperson and honorable members, I would like to call upon this program managers to present their priorities for this financial year. We will then start, Chairperson, with program 1.1, which is which will give us the overall overview of the budget of the department. The CFO will address that. And then we'll then go to the specific programs, which are basically technical programs after that.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. In the interest of time, as the Chair already indicated, we will just run through the presentation as quickly as we can. We'll be focusing on essentially 5 areas. Firstly, giving an overview of the budget as well as the spending outlook. Thank you for that. Thank you. five key areas, which are the budget, overall budget of the department, as well as the spending outlook going forward. We'll then zoom into the specific programs just to give some analysis in terms of spending trends and changes in the budget. We'll then go into the analysis of the estimated expenditure over the medium term. Then we'll go into the economic classification of our budget, that is on the main item level from goods and services all the way to capital. And then the final part would be looking at the branch objective, how we contribute to some of the objectives that the DG spoke about in his opening remarks. Overall, the DMR has been allocated a budget of 1.16 billion over the current financial year, which is the 2012-13. This, looking at it in relation to where we were in 2008-09, we are looking at an increase of about 8.8%, and we are projecting that this will grow over the medium term at an average rate of about 5.2%. When we look at the same budget and we split it in terms of what is allocated to the department itself versus the money that we receive and transfer over to our state-owned entities, we're looking at a ratio of around 55 to 44% respectively in that order. We are happy, Chairperson, to report that over the last 5 or so years, obviously before even we became DMR, but if we just look at our record as DMR, we have maintained an underspending level of far below the 5% threshold, with the 11-12 sitting at 0.92%. And also, even in terms of the money that we were not able to spend, those are representing or represented by commitments that exist already in our system. And we will be forwarding an application for rollover to National Treasury in that respect. If we now look at how this budget is allocated at a program level, I will provide some more further analysis, but this is how it appears in terms of the split or the allocation of the budget at various program level. Program one, there currently, if we just look at the column that speaks to 2012-13 on the projection side, program one decreasing there from 263 to 238. As I indicated, I'll provide some further analysis in terms of the changes between the 2011 and 2012 financial years. Mine health and safety moving from 135 to 154. Mineral regulation decreasing slightly from 184 to 180. And then lastly, MPP, which is Mineral Policy and Promotion, increasing from 446 to 595. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that on the previous slide, the figures that we've included under 2011-12, those represent actual expenditure, but not yet audited. So if by the time the Auditor General completes the audit in July, there might be some adjustments that get to take place, but we trust that there's not going to be significant changes. Again, looking at the comparison between 2012 and 13 to the overall MTF process, program, or rather the overall MTF allocation up to 2014-15. There is an increase, as we indicated, of 5.2 on average, and this is mainly related to allocations that we received in relation to improvement in conditions of service, or what we normally refer to as salary increases. But the major portion talks to an additional allocation of 350 million that came through during the last budget process. This money was allocated to both the Council for Geoscience and MinTech, respectively. And the 350 is for the overall MTEF period. So it's broken down into three. I think per annum we're looking at somewhere around 110 to 120 million between the two entities. Now we move on to the expenditure analysis per program. Program one, administration, which is made up, as the DG indicated, of corporate services and the office of the CFO. Here, the expenditure is expected to increase from 263 in the last financial year to 270 in the final year of the MTEF, which is an average rate of 0.7%. If one looks at the comparison between last year and the 2012-13, you would actually see that there has been a decline in the projection for Program 1 expenditure from 263 to about 232. And the reason for that is that there has been a decision taken in the department to begin to decentralize some of the budgets that are allocated for support services. For example, you know, things like IT support, provision of equipment, stationery, and so forth, so that when we account for expenditure, we are able to link the expenditure to where the money went. So if, for example, program two is purchasing computers, those computers would be allocated and accounted for under that specific program. So the money that was allocated for the so-called centralized services has now been decentralized to specific programs. So that is why you're seeing such a significant decline in program one. And then on program two, here we are expecting an increase from about 135 million in 2011-12 to 175.8 million in 2014-15. This translates to an average rate of about 6.8%. And the main reason for the increase is related to, one, the inflation-related adjustments, and two, what I spoke about, the issue of the decentralization of funding for the previously centralized services. Mineral regulation also increasing at an average rate of 1.4%, from 184 to 194. On this program, Honorable Chair, I must indicate that historically we used to have the program dealing with the rehabilitation of ownerless and derelict mines residing within this program. But last year that changed, that particular program is no longer part of mineral regulation. It's now sitting under mineral promotion and policy program. And then that takes us to the mineral policy and promotion, which is the program that takes a significant share of the entire budget of the department, sitting at 446 million in 2011-12, and this is projected to increase to 719 million in the final year of the current MTEF, at an average rate of 12.7%. The reason for this increase is because all those entities that received additional allocation in terms of economic support program reside within this program. So the 350 million will be or has been allocated under program four, which is mineral policy and promotion. We now look at expenditure or our resource plan in terms of how it's presented on economic classification. there you see a relationship between the key expenditure items being our current payments, which is compensation of employees and goods and services, in relation to why are we spending money on transfers and subsidies. So the relationship there for the 12-13 financial year, current payments are sitting at 602 million, made up of 400 million that goes to compensation of employees, with the remainder of 200 million going towards goods and services. So this is the mainly the portion that the department itself has at its disposal in terms of executing programs that are done within the department itself, excluding transfers that go to the entities. Then the remainder of our budget, the significant portion there of 560 million is received and immediately transferred to the various entities and institutions that are mandated to advance other departmental programs. The less significant one is capital assets. Honorable Chair, here as a DMR, we don't have a major capital expenditure program. The money that we allocate for capital assets is mainly for procurement of things like computers, servers, furniture, and so forth. Hence, you see that allocation sitting at such insignificant levels. Just some further commentary on that slide. The decline in compensation of, or rather the relative decline, if you compare 11-12 to 12-13 on the side of compensation of employees, it would appear that there is no clear, smooth increase, and the reason for that is because in the 11-12 financial year we've had to do a bit of shifting of funds based on some areas where we were unable to fill positions on time, and therefore those funds that were available have had to be shifted from compensation of employees to goods and services accordingly. We've had a further change in our goods and services budget, where during the 2011-12 financial year, part of our goods and services budget included funding for the rehabilitation of ownerless and derelict mines. We have now requested through the budget process to reclassify that money so that it comes through as a transfer payment to the Council for Geoscience. Basically, where we have now a complete arrangement where Council for Geoscience would be dealing with the planning side of the program, whilst MINTEC would be busy with the implementation, but also dealing with some level of implementation on the closing of open shafts. CGS would be dealing with that. So you have an arrangement where the program is going to be implemented at two different levels. So that has significantly affected, again, our goods and services, where we're moving from 233 million in 2011-12 to about 200 million in 2012-13. When we move further to transfers and subsidies, we've already covered this part, the 33% increase that relates to the additional funding for economic support and competitive packages. And Chair, that concludes then the analysis in terms of the budget or resource allocation for the department, per program, and also looking at the different programs that we have and economic classification. I will now, Honorable Chair, with your permission, move into now the specific program annual performance plan for the Office of the CFO, where we have basically aligned ourselves to the departmental objective that leads to a an effective, efficient, and development-oriented department, where we've now come up with specific branch objectives, which are grouped into the different perspectives within the balanced scorecard approach that we are using. Starting off with a stakeholder perspective, here we will be aiming to provide reliable and timely information. And what we're talking about here is basically we'll be measuring ourselves on the basis of number of reports submitted within the prescribed time frame. And the key reports that one can look at include your annual financial statements, different PFMA reports that have to be submitted to National Treasury, to the AG, and so forth. So we will be monitoring our performance in relation with this particular measure, looking at those particular reports. Then we move on to saying, as a support function, part of our key mandate is to deliver services to the line function branches, but also to some extent we do render services to external stakeholders as well. So we have developed a system in terms of which we are able to measure our turnaround time for each and every service that we render, ranging from payment of invoices, supplying of goods and services, to provision of a reliable ICT infrastructure. So there we will be measuring ourselves in terms of our ability to meet those defined turnaround times. Then, in addition to that, we also felt that we needed to conduct a customer satisfaction survey where we would be sending out questionnaires to the various branches to measure ourselves in terms of how are we doing from their own perspective in terms of this service that we're delivering. I must say, during the last financial year, the index or the survey that we conducted, we were sitting just over 3 out of 5, so we are aiming to improve on that towards moving to a 5. In terms of educating and empowering our stakeholders, here, because we've got a two-pronged sort of approach to the work that we do. There is the part that talks to provision of service, but also the part that talks to making sure that there is compliance to rules and regulations within the department as a whole, and key among those will be the PFMA. So we have a responsibility to ensure that our clients or the various line function branches are familiar with the internal policies within the department, but also the key pieces of legislation that we have to comply with. So we'll be measuring ourselves in terms of whether are we making progress in seeing a reduction in the number of non-compliance cases, but also number of complaints that we will be receiving from our clients. Then moving on to the ICT side, which is another key area that we provide services, we'll be measuring ourselves in terms of the reduction. We'd like to see a reduction in the number of calls from our internal help desk system that are locked due to the failure of the system or the lack of responsiveness from the system side. And here we'll be looking at various programs aimed at improving the infrastructure, the network, as well as various application systems. Then in response to one of the key burning issues around support for SMMEs, we felt that it's going to be important to now begin to measure ourselves in terms of how well we are adhering to the PFMA requirements to pay all supplier invoices within the prescribed 30 days period. We have already established registers in this regard where every invoice that comes into the department gets recorded, and we monitor how long it takes us to process that invoice. Moving on to the internal processes, where we are now saying, having identified all those things that we need to deliver to our clients, what is it that we need to do internally within the branch to make sure that we meet those objectives. Here we'll be reviewing some of our policies. We will be implementing other policies that were approved in the previous year, but also coming up with procedures and detailed processes to provide more guidelines to our clients. And the focus here would be more on the ICT environment, because the other side, we have already done quite a lot of work in that. Again, in terms of the earlier objective around improvement on turnaround time, we would now be examining some of our processes that are already in place with a view to say, how can we shorten this turnaround time? And there we'll be measuring ourselves in terms of how many processes have been improved, but also expressing that in percentage terms. Again, linked to that, from an ICT perspective, we always need to make sure that our plans for the information and communication side of the business talks to what the department requires. So in that regard, we have developed what we call the master systems plan, which we are going to be implementing in the current financial year. So we'll be measuring ourselves in terms of how far we've gone in implementing that master systems plan. And part of the measure to see that we are indeed improving our services in that regard, we want to target a reduction in the amount of money that we pay towards software licenses. We have a whole program that talks to integration, where we try to eliminate duplication of systems from a program to program point of view. And then on the learning on growth, I won't spend too much time on this slide. I think my colleague, Ms. Gamede, will talk in more details around the issues of management development programs and vacancies, because the measures are cross-cutting, and they as the custodian of HR-related programs, she will elaborate further on that part. Just in conclusion, I will talk to the financial perspective, where we basically will be focusing on four key areas. First one being the utilization of resources. The target there is basically to ensure that there is a reduction in the number of assets that we dispose prior to the life of that particular asset. Here we are mainly talking about asset losses. We want to make sure that we eliminate those to a level that is acceptable. And then as part of managing our budget, we had to ensure that after putting together this annual performance plan, we develop spending plans for each and every program that speak to the overall budget allocation. So during the year, we will be measuring ourselves in terms of how are we implementing those spending plans as they were originally designed. So here the measure becomes how many changes have occurred in percentage terms from what was originally planned. And we would want to see a much lesser, change in terms of the original allocation on the spending plans versus what the actual is going to be, because this area does impact on the overall ability of the fiscus to do the necessary projections in terms of what is required from a month-to-month basis. Then linked to that, we will also be measuring ourselves in terms of the variance on the allocated budget. Earlier on, I spoke to our performance for the previous year, where we were sitting at 0.9%. We would like to maintain that particular performance rating. And linked to that, we would want to ensure that whatever spending we do is done in compliance with the applicable pieces of legislation. And in this regard, we'll be looking at reducing, if not eliminating, cases of irregular expenditure, which is basically expenditure spent in contravention of a specific piece of legislation. Then lastly, on corporate governance, we'll be looking at following up on issues that are raised by our internal auditors and making sure that when we make a commitment to resolve a particular issue raised, that gets to be followed up and implemented accordingly. We'll do the same for the Auditor General, but also our colleagues from the compliance office side have developed a compliance framework which we need to comply with, and we will be targeting to ensure that there is 100% compliance to that framework that has been developed. And then lastly, in order to proactively manage our risks, we need to ensure that those risk treatment action plans that are linked to the risk assessments that are done are implemented in full as presented in the risk management strategy. That concludes the presentation from Program 1.1. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you.
Honorable members, that talks to the actual figures in terms of rents and cents. The presentation we received is actually a financial performance. Looking at the amount allocated, what is the forecast expenditure, and what strategic plans are there in spending such funds in a manner that would yield good results. I'm going to allow you space to engage on this and immediately move to the other programs so that we don't lose out on what we have been given in terms of the financial performance, and then follow with the other departments. If there are any questions for clarity or any input that you would want to make on this one. But when we start again on Program 1, Corporate Services, we will not disturb that flow. It will go right through to Program 4. They will then be giving us, you know, their expenditure patterns in terms of what has been allocated to them. So I just want to give you a benefit here in case you have some questions that you want to ask on this presentation this far. Any takers? Honorable Hululu, Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Lorimer, Honorable Lucas. In that order, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've got two just for clarity. Let me thank the presentation from the CFO. I just wanted to check the what's called the budget for the derelict and ownerless program. As to, I know that it was about 50 million rands, that is per annum. How much have you allocated in the 2012-2013 financial year? And the second one will be on the transformation of policies on the payment of the suppliers. Actually, I see that it's now, is it 30 days or was it 30 days? I just want clarity around that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Only one issue. If you look at the figures from 2008 to 2015, you see a steady growth, kind of a continued growth, which does not seem to be affected by the economic reality in terms of financial issues at the moment. Are other departments being affected? It doesn't seem as if the MR's budget has been affected. Is that a correct assumption? Because I got the impression that some departments are to cut their budget. And I was expecting somewhere a cut in the budget, except if I've missed it and it's reflected somewhere else in the current budget that we had undergone budget cuts. But it's not spelled out today.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Firstly, when you calculate your staff remuneration increases, I'd be interested to know what figure you bet on as for being the annual increase for staff, and how much that can be thrown out if government decides to increase salaries by more than that. The second question relates to the Mine Health and Safety Inspectorate. There's a relatively modest increase, 6.8%. I see also in your strat plan you say that there's had to be a downward adjustment of the targets for enforcement inspections by the Mineral Regulation Branch due to a lack of additional funding in the medium-term expenditure framework. How much of a downward adjustment? What's that going to mean in practical terms? I do think this is a key area that needs sufficient funding. My third question is, and I'm not sure whether this is the appropriate place to do it, but I see again in your strat plan you're talking about providing bursaries. Are those bursaries specifically directed towards growing your own timber? In other words, are you funding the education of people who you expect to be in the department, or are you funding the education of people who you expect to be in the industry? If you're funding people who you expect to be in the industry as a whole, is this the right place to do it, and is that enough? 20 seems like an awfully small number of bursaries for the whole industry. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too really wanted to know whether are you happy with the status quo, because I think one of the biggest problems is trying to keep staff and to pay them attractive salaries in order to keep them, because in the health and safety we lose the guys because we can't compete, and that's because the other thing is the transfers. These transfers, how do you monitor them? Because that could reflect your good name could go down the drain if you haven't not hands on. I see there's a small rollover, but what has worried me from many years that I've been in this company, we have small scale miners who need small amounts of money, 200 rand to go for the environmental issue, to put it down. Isn't there a way that we could assist with these minor rollovers? Because I can assure you, we haven't gone anywhere, Mr. Chairman. We haven't gone anywhere. If we want to look at it seriously, it's just by name that they've got prospecting rights, but that they can do anything about it, it's nil. What happens? They've been exploited, continually exploited again, and it's not in their hands. And I, as you know, that is my pet subject, and I don't seem to see it continue any further. The last one is the funding for this trade for the economic support. I'm just hoping that is enough, because we've been very ambitious on this, and I really support it, because I think we need to do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Would you care to respond to those?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The questions from Honorable Lulu on the budget for the derelict and ownerless mine. We are currently, as I indicated, we've split the program into two, if not three. We have an allocation of 30 million that goes to MinTech, an allocation of now a newly reclassified allocation of 20 million that will be going to Council for Geoscience, which leaves about 4 to 5 million internally within the department to deal with other, support issues towards the program in terms of monitoring and evaluation. So the funding is still intact, sitting around the same place. And then on the payment of suppliers, yes, the legislated time frame is 30 days. We're obviously aiming to do a lot more, a lot better than the 30-day turnaround time. In fact, if you look at some of the new processes that we are introducing, we think that we can even, in some instances, half that and do it probably. within 15 days or if not less. There's quite been a lot of work done in this area. But I must say that historically the challenge has always been around supplier not always complying to, you know, internal requirements. For example, if you submit an invoice that is not in line with the requirements of the PFMA, it does a back and forth process. So we had to do a lot of supplier engagements, teach them more about the procurement processes so that there are no issues of irregular expenditure, which again delays payment. So we are quite happy to see that we're starting to see a lot of improvement in that area. The steady growth in the budget and whether we are not affected by budget cuts, Honorable Schmidt, I think the only unfortunate part is that we when we report or as we include the numbers in our plan, we tend to talk more about, you know, nominal increases as opposed to real increases. If we actually look at some of the programs, the budget has not increased in real terms, in the sense that if you factor in inflation, you're basically looking at a reduction. So yes, there have been budget cuts. In fact, in the previous financial year, I think we were sitting at around 7 million that has been reduced from our support services side. So each and every year for the last 5 years, we've always experienced a budget cut. It's only that in most cases, there would be an allocation for inflation adjustment, but then a cut at the same time. So you sort of remain at the same level. So as you get a real increase of about 1%, it might look like your budget is growing, but in real terms, we're actually seeing a shrinkage in that. And perhaps I should link that to the questions from Honorable Oriman on the shrinking or the decline in the budget for minerals regulation. I think that's the program you were referring to, because that's the one that speaks to compliance monitoring from a licensing perspective. Yes, this is quite a concern. I think in the past we did engage on this matter with the committee, and there was a resolution taken to say that the committee would look at probably inviting National Treasury to look at doing some further engagements around the allocation of funding, particularly to this area, because there is quite a lot of opportunity that we are losing out on. And I think my colleague, DDG Mineral Regulation, would speak to some of the impact of, you know, our inability to enforce compliance in some of the licensing conditions that are attached to this license. The calculation for budget for salary increases, we on an annual basis, when we get our allocation letters around December or so from National Treasury, they always provide us a percentage to say, given the projections that they have done on the inflation outlook, this is the percentage that we must use to calculate salary increases. The second part of the question as to if that was to come at a lower value, how much of that are we able to shrink off our budget, to take off our budget? A while ago, the DMR took a position to say that in order for us to manage the lack of spending or underspending linked to vacancies, we took a deliberate decision not to budget for positions at the actual cost. So we budget for them at around 90% of the total cost to the company. So what you have is a situation where if it was to happen that we fill all the vacancies, which we acknowledge that at any given point in time you will always have maybe 1% vacancy rate or so, that allows us to employ more people with the limited budget that we have, obviously taking advantage of those areas that we are not able to fill vacancies in. So even if there was a reduction, reduction in the projected salary increase, which usually in my experience, you know, having been in the department for quite some time, it hasn't happened. We always get increases that are above what is projected initially. If that were to happen, that difference would be absorbed in terms of what I spoke about on the approach for budgeting for that. The question on the budget, I think Ms. Amede can speak to that, but on the allocation.
Thank you, Chairperson. The budget on the bursaries that was alluded to earlier, I think, refers to the internal bursaries that we give to our employees, not so much of the external bursaries that are done probably through Money Health and Safety, some of them, and some that we do through the MQA and a bit that the department also through HRD provide to external students out there. But what the CFO was mainly referring to, I think the bulk of it is that of internal employees.
Maybe I can add the bursaries to external people will be mainly through our associated institutions like Council for Geoscience. You know, they will focus on people who have been trained in geology, MinTech, people who have been trained in mineral technology and engineers in that field. MQA will also focus also probably only in the mining industry. But most of the figure that they are referring to here will be internal training.
Yeah. Honorable Chair, just to finish off with the questions from Honorable Lucas. We thank you for the support on the funding for this economic support initiative. We also believe that is quite an important area that our associated institutions will be able to make a difference in terms of what this country needs from an economic growth point of view. Are we comfortable with the status quo around funding? I think the approach that we've always taken is one that says, because we get our notification in terms of how much money we have around December, that is before the finalization and tabling of the annual performance plan, we always make sure that whatever we're going to put in the APP is a reflection of what is contained in the budget. We wouldn't want to come here and say that we are going to do, so much, only to come back at the end and say we couldn't deliver on that because of funding constraints. So we always make sure that there is that relationship. Can we do more if we had more money? Definitely, we would be able to expand. We spoke about the compliance monitoring earlier on. I think that is quite an opportunity that we see from a funding perspective. And then the question on transfers, how we manage them. We basically have two types of transfers. They are the statutory sort of funding for our state-owned entities, where, you know, we're funding them for basic things like compensation of employees, for their operational expenditure, basically, which is obviously going to be monitored in terms of the mandate that we've given them, where we enter into shareholders' compacts. They tell us exactly how they're going to use the money. The minister has to approve those and sign those shareholder compacts, which is attached to the budget. And as they report on a quarterly basis, they have to report in terms of how they are doing in relation to that funding. The other part, the other type of transfer that we have is specific projects, like I spoke about the MinTech geoscience project that they are doing on our behalf. In such cases, we enter into a specific agreement with them to say these are the expected deliverables, this is how you're supposed to report on this certificate to say their processes are in line and are in compliance with the PFMA before we can process that particular transfer, because we acknowledge that anything that goes wrong on the other side, we still remain accountable. And then on the issue of rollovers, we would like to see a situation where perhaps we come here with a spending feedback that says we spend all our money, but it's not always possible because of some of the changes and factors that affect our work. And Treasury has come up with this benchmark to say if you come in at least under 5% of the originally allocated budget, that is acceptable. So we think that we're doing very well at 0.9%. And I think the other encouraging factor, Honorable Chair, is that all this money that we couldn't spend is money that is already committed somewhere else. And we are able to demonstrate that there was a delay in the delivery of this particular goods or service in that financial year, and we'll be able to pay those invoices now in April, hence the issue of the rollover funding. So it's not a situation where we would just be taking all this money back to Treasury and not do anything about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, then I think we should then move to the other programs. But before we do that, the tea is going to get cold here. Let's grab tea for 5-10 minutes and come back, and then we'll move straight to corporate services once that is done. Thank you.